NPR.
This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith.
And I'm Adrian Ma. And as you know, dear listener, here on The Indicator, we are serious journalists and we only do serious things.
Have you played this game before?
Candy Crush?
Yeah.
I have played a lot of Candy. I don't know how you haven't played Candy Crush. I have three versions of Candy Crush on my phone, Adrian. Three.
Okay, right away, I can see why this is addictive because, like, the whole thing is in, like, Technicolor neon. And,
yes. Very colorful.
Yeah, and things are, like, bopping. Whoa! What did I do there?
Sweet.
Sweet, okay.
Oh, sweet. That's what it says when you've done well.
Okay. This might seem like a silly little game, but the company behind it, Activision Blizzard, could be worth about $70 billion. At least, that is how much Microsoft is offering to pay to acquire Activision.
And Adrian, we should note that Activision does not have the best reputation right now. The company is facing allegations and lawsuits about sexual harassment, discrimination, and generally a toxic workplace.
And yet, if this deal goes through, it could be the biggest tech company acquisition in history. Today on the show, my conversation with Will Oremus, tech news analyst at The Washington Post. And he tells us why Microsoft is dropping all this dough on a gaming company and how it's the latest move in a race to build what some are calling the next version of the internet, a.k.a. the metaverse.
Will there be Candy Crush in the metaverse? Am I meant to understand? Because suddenly the metaverse seems better.
This message comes from USA Facts, a 2022 lead sponsor of The Indicator from Planet Money. USA Facts gathers data from federal, state, and county records, then adds context so Americans can understand how the government is serving its people by the numbers. More at usafacts.org.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Burrow, the furniture company designing smarter, simpler things for modern life at home. Burrow's modular furniture is built for easy moving and simple setup wherever you go. Get $75 off your Burrow order at burrow.com/indicator.
Activision has been in the news for the past several months for, like, not great reasons, right? Like, it's got accusations of sexual harassment and discrimination happening at the company. So, like, why is it that Microsoft is paying almost $70 billion for this kind of troubled company?
Yeah, Activision is absolutely a troubled company. It's a company in turmoil. Employees are not happy. There's been nonstop bad press. But the sale price doesn't treat it like that, right? And it reflects just the incredible scale of the gaming world these days and the incredible growth that people think lies ahead for gaming companies.
That seems to be like the straightforward answer is, like, a lot of people are gaming and they want a game. But, like, one thing we couldn't help but noticing is in their announcement of this today, they were mentioning the word metaverse. It said basically that this acquisition will provide the building blocks for the metaverse. So, like, what do you make of that?
So the metaverse is the next big thing in tech, according to a lot of people, right? Certainly according to Facebook, which rebranded its company as Meta and said that it's pivoting to build the metaverse. It's an idea of the next generation of the internet, one where we all have sort of a second life, if you will, in a digital realm where we work, we play, we interact with each other via these digital avatars, and we collect digital possessions. Maybe we even have a digital house, and our work meetings are on there, and we connect with friends when we're gaming on there. And that's what Facebook is working toward, and now it seems increasingly clear that that's also what Microsoft is working toward with this announcement.
Whenever I talk to that metaverse with people, somebody will say, like, isn't that kind of like, I used to play The Sims, you know, or, you know, my kid is on Fortnite all the time. Like, those are like virtual worlds, and the metaverse is supposed to be some kind of virtual world. Like, what is the difference? Is there a difference?
So the ideal of the metaverse is like, it's a whole digital universe that's like a reflection, like a mirror reality of the one that we have today. But what we're actually seeing are like little bits and pieces of that at a time, right? So sure, The Sims, Second Life, which I alluded to earlier, was this, you know, the graphics were nothing special. It was just this game, but it was this second reality where you could have your own house and job and it had its own economy. That was a prototype. We're now moving toward versions of that that use virtual reality, that make you feel like you're really immersed in the environment. And we're seeing just different products pick up pieces of that metaverse idea, kind of, you know, three or five at a time. Nobody's gotten the whole thing and probably won't anytime soon.
Okay, so there's pieces of it floating out there, but I think as you pointed out, it seems like a lot of the conversation going on about the metaverse kind of acts like it's already here.
So the metaverse has become the biggest buzzword in tech, and that means that wherever you throw the word metaverse, money is going to follow. So it's at this point, it's like it's a vision and it's a buzzword and it's not a reality, because the reality would require that these different companies actually build stuff that works together in one virtual realm that's interoperable. You know, for the people who talk about the metaverse as the, in the grandest sense, as the next stage of the internet, that they will need something like what was needed to build the first stage of the internet, which was protocols for the World Wide Web, HTTP, you know, URLs, all that kind of stuff that anybody can use. That was done by nonprofits. That wasn't done by any given company. So I think we should all be a little skeptical when a giant like Facebook or like Microsoft says that they're building the metaverse, but you know what they're really building for now are just new platforms that are more immersive than before, but there's still the same model that we've had where you're in a self-contained world that's run by one corporation at a time.
And somehow Microsoft says that buying a gaming company will help get them there.
I think what that acquisition does for Microsoft is it gives Microsoft an in to where people are having these experiences already. So like increasingly for young people, when they do their socializing online, it's not just on Facebook or Instagram or WhatsApp or text message. They log on to their game of choice with their friends and they all get on there and they either talk inside the game and meet up in the game, or they get on Discord, the live audio chat service, and they talk on Discord while they're playing the game, or they're playing Call of Duty, talking on Discord. That's in some ways, that's the new social network, is gaming. And I think that convergence of gaming with social media and then between social media and work is what Microsoft is trying to buy up chunks of and get ahead of.
So for folks who aren't passionate about all things gaming or internet, why should they care who ends up building the metaverse and deciding what it looks like?
I think there are still probably a lot of people out there who just aren't gamers and don't really care. But I think that number is dwindling. I mean, gaming these days is just massive. It's like it's a little bit to me like asking in 2012, like, what about people who just don't care about social media and Facebook? And why should we care who controls social media if I'm not on Facebook or Twitter? Well, that was a reasonable question to ask in 2012 when, like, you know, maybe a quarter of people were on social media. If you asked it today, people would be like, what are you talking about? Like, we all use social media. Maybe I'm drinking the Kool-Aid too much, but I think gaming is headed in that direction. I mean, it's already an industry on par with the entire movie industry in terms of revenues, in terms of the amount of time people spend on it. It's going to become integrated into the way that people socialize, and even, you know, potentially, if these companies have their way, it could become integrated into our work lives, right? Like maybe the same avatar that you use to log on and game at night, maybe you put on, you know, you take off the combat fatigues in the morning and put on a business suit, and then you go to your remote meeting with your coworkers. You know, if they have their way, that's how it's going to be.
What a weird future/maybe close to present that we're headed for. Willa Remus is a tech news analyst with The Washington Post. Thanks so much for the super interesting conversation, Will.
Hey, thanks for having me.
This episode of The Indicator was produced by senior producer Via Lay with help from Isaac Rodriguez. It was fact-checked by Corey Bridges. The show is edited by Kate Concannon, and The Indicator is a production of NPR.